Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 771. It's the 9th of May, 2017. On the podcast today, I have Neil Ritson, chairman of Solo Oil. Ticker there is Solo. And Neil gives an update on their helium investment and summarizes progress with their other investments. Also on the podcast, Andy Hollingworth, CEO of Tuple.com, goes over some of their highlights from their interim results, which were released today. Plus, as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours and the top five most liked RNSs on Vox Markets this morning.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Neil Ritson, chairman of Solo Oil. Ticker there is Solo. Neil, thanks for coming back on.
Hi, good morning, Justin.
Right, we've got a bit of news out today, and we'll cover that in a bit. It's regarding your Helium One project in Tanzania. We'll cover that in a bit. First and foremost, Neil, as always, for people not aware of Solo or new to the podcast, can you give us a brief summary as to what Solo Oil is all about, please?
Yeah, Solo Oil is a portfolio investment company. We invest in projects often at an early phase when they're not recognized by others in the market, and we help them get through to commercialization. So we're a portfolio company. We don't have to operate. We rely on the skills of the operators in the countries where they are, and we put together a portfolio for our investors.
Yes, and one of these investments is the Helium Ones project in Tanzania. So can you explain a bit of background about this, and also just go through the news today, please, Neil, if you could?
Yeah, and this is very exciting. We think this is a significantly overlooked opportunity. Helium is in relatively short supply around the world these days, and it's going to become even more so when the US Strategic Reserve comes offline by 2021. So a commodity which is in high demand. Why is it in demand? Well, it's used in medical imaging. Anybody who's had an MRI scan needs to know that machine requires helium to work, and that's key use. There are lots of other uses of helium, and it's hard to substitute it because it's got very unique properties, not just blowing up party balloons. So it's something with high demand, shortage of supply, strong price fundamentals, and finding new sources of helium is not straightforward. And we think we've locked on to one of the biggest potential projects there in Tanzania, a unique set of geological circumstances. And though it's relatively early phase, they've not drilled a well yet, they've seen all the right evidence that suggests that this could be really, really big. So that's kind of the background on helium. Mm-hmm. And then on this particular project, the news this morning, they're continuing to collect the technical data they need to choose the right drilling locations. We know there's seepage of helium from the ground, which is important. We've got some indication of where it may be trapped in the subsurface. And just putting all that together into a very clear picture before we commit to the drill bit. Is what we're at the moment. That program will go on through the rest of this year. There'll be more news around that as the year progresses, with the aim of getting drilling done next year.
Excellent stuff. And so you hold a 10% interest in here with an option to increase that by a further 10%. And is there any sort of timeline on when you are likely to execute that option?
Yeah, the option's got about another 45 days to run at the moment. We're still in this process of educating the market about helium and why this is exciting. That option might get extended. There are a number of consents needed in Tanzania to complete that second tranche acquisition. It may get slightly extended, but the aim here is to get in a position to take up that additional 10%. It's a project that we're, as I say, very excited about. We'd like to see this through to drilling. At that point, some other investors can come in and put up the big bucks. But at the moment, we're trying to get it to that mature de-risk point, which is where skills from our team come into play, because we're gas producers in Tanzania already. We've already taken a couple of projects through to commercialization in Tanzania, albeit hydrocarbon gas, stuff that burns rather than helium, which is inert, but basically the philosophies are the same.
Yeah, and so what is the significance or the potential here, and also what's the significance of Solo, this project? Do you have an eye on the bigger screen here? I mean, how big could this be? How significant could this be for you? That's what I'm trying to say, Neil, in a clumsy way.
Yeah, I think you have to start multiplying a few numbers together. The price of helium is about 30 to 40 times that of hydrocarbon gas. So we're talking about $150 for a unit of helium, as opposed to $3 or $4 for hydrocarbon gas. So already you've got a big multiplier in there. The world market for helium at the moment, though it's growing rapidly, is about 6 billion cubic feet a year, and the project that we're involved in Tanzania has the potential to have over 10 years of global supply. So if you start multiplying those numbers together, you very quickly get into billions. So even our 10 or 20% interest here is very significant if this project comes through through the proof of concept into a successful development. So yeah, on the back of already having made a large gas discovery and some commercialization of gas in Tanzania on the hydrocarbon side, this could be very much the next big thing for us, and the numbers get very big.
Yes, okay, excellent stuff. Well, that sounds very exciting, and it would be remiss of me not to ask you for a brief overview of how your other projects are going on. What's happening there, progress-wise?
Yeah, the gas discovery, the Notoria one in Tanzania, is at a licensing point. We've proved that there's a commercial volume there, so we're applying for a development license. That's the Notoria discovery. The Kilimani North field, which is on production, is chugging along quite happily, producing revenue and paying the bills. Our Horse Hill discovery, we're waiting for the new council in Surrey to have a planning meeting. Obviously, a strong Conservative win there gives us confidence that we'll get the planning for the tests at Horse Hill. And really, those are the upcoming events other than helium.
Excellent, Neil. Well, if anyone's listening right now and thinks, yes, they can see potential here and they like what you're talking about, but they're not following you on Vox Markets as yet, could you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button, please?
Yeah, I mean, we're a unique portfolio company. There's not another AIM company that does what we do, so that's discriminator number one. The major gas find, hydrocarbon gas in Tanzania, coming through to development over the next period will give people a lot of comfort that the value is underpinned solidly. And then we're the only way you can get exposed in any way, in any market, to what's going on in helium at the moment. And that's something that we'll look to preserve as we go to 20%. If you want to get into the helium play on the London market, you'll have to do it through us.
Excellent, Neil. Good to chat to you, and hopefully speak again soon. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now, it's Andy Hollingworth, CEO of Tuple. That's T-O-O-P, ticker. Andy, thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Justin. Thank you very much for your time.
Now, you're on to go over some of the highlights from your interim results, and they look quite impressive. But before we go into that, Andy, for people not aware of what Tuple do or they're new to the podcast, can you explain, give a brief summary as to what you're all about, please?
Of course. Tuple.com is an online-first company built for and dedicated to the telecoms needs of UK small business. From data connectivity like superfast broadband, mobile and cloud-based office telephony, Tuple delivers what is a complete telecom solution to small businesses based on a predictable fixed price mechanism supported by only UK-based customer service, and customers can communicate with us via online, via chat, or over the phone. And in summary, we make telecoms easy for small business.
Okay, now if someone's listening right now, right, doesn't that already exist? What sets you apart from what's already out there at the moment, Andy?
What sets us apart is we are absolutely dedicated to business, and particularly small business only. So we have no consumer element to our business whatsoever. We understand the needs of small business through talking to small business, and we understand that they require fixed, transparent pricing, and pricing that is easily budgetable. We're not a promotions-led business, so when a customer contracts with Tuple, the cost that they pay in the first year is absolutely fixed for the life of the contract. Whether they sign up for 12 months, 24 months, 36 months, the price they pay on month one is the price that they'll pay on month 36. It's predictable, it's easier to understand, and it's backed up by a great customer experience.
Excellent stuff. Okay, your interims for the last 6 months, they look quite impressive. Up to the 31st of March. And I'm just highlighting one of the things here. For example, you're a new brand, you've been around 12 months, and you've already signed up 800 small businesses, business customers, resulting in over 1,200 revenue-generating units. That's just one of the highlights. So it's going quite well, isn't it? I mean, I'll leave it to you, Andy, to highlight some of the other bits from the interims, because I'm looking through it. I can see a lot of double-digit increases in revenue and growth everywhere. But feel free to go for the highlights there.
Yes, I think in summary, I think it was a solid set of results. We did bring a brand new brand to the market less than 12 months ago, a brand that no small business knew about. And to get the validation that, as we report, almost 800 customers have contracted and signed up. I say almost 800 customers. This number was as of the 30th of April, and I can confirm that in the early trading of May, we've now surpassed 800 contracted customers. So that's validation that the small business market will accept a new brand into the market. We're disruptive in what we do with a fresh approach to the market, as I said earlier, fixed budgetable costs, really disruptive in everything that we do. And that's resulted in a revenue increase 63% over the comparable period last year, and again up 18% on the second half of 2016. Our gross margin has increased by 89% versus the second half of 2016. And that's gone from 8.1% for the full year 2016 to 12.5% in this interim statement. And that is driven by our focus on directly contracted small businesses, as opposed to our wholesale business, which is typically a lower margin business. We've been able to drive 49% improvement in our operating losses, and that is again as a result of going through the CapEx heavy investment in the website, investment in integration into our supplier relationships, and the first launch of the Tuple brand. We're now in a BAU environment. We are a low cost business, but our highly scalable business. And I guess the most exciting thing is in the last 8 to 9 weeks, our own direct marketing activity has driven an 81% increase in customer orders over the last 2 months.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that. I was going to say, listen, it looks good, but is this set to continue? And I was scrolling down and it says, like you said, 81% increase in orders in March and April. So this is, it's not just a one-off. You're hoping this will be a continued trend. Is that the case?
Absolutely. We see the we see the order rate through the 81% growth as consistent. We will continue with that order rate. We know the direct correlation versus our activity, versus our clicks, versus our open rates. And at all times, we myopically watch the cost of customer acquisition costs. So whereas sometimes in a competitive market, sometimes the comparison sites like Uswitch, Money Supermarket can go quite high in customer acquisition costs. And those sites are really, really important for our brand establishment. And indeed, in the last 4 weeks on Uswitch, we've polled in the top four, and that continues to provide orders. We also thought it was important to be in control of our customer cost of acquisition, which is why we launched our own direct digital activity. We know the correlation, as I say, between actually what we spend on clicks and what we spend on open rates and impressions, and we know exactly what the return is. And we're still in line with our guidance, which is a customer acquisition cost of between £41 and £91 a customer. As the brand builds, there's the opportunity to operate those customer acquisition costs at the medium to lower end. But as an absolute minimum, we will continue with the enlarged growth in customer orders going forwards.
Excellent stuff. And like I said, you are a brand new business, so at the moment you're loss making. What's the aim here? Do you have a timeline to target profitability?
Yeah, we certainly have a view that that as long as our customer acquisition costs and our volume keeps on track, then we'll come into profit. Within the right time frame, which is certainly the sort of 24-month to 36-month period. But that all has to be underpinned by great customer service. There's no point acquiring customers if you don't keep customers. And one of the areas that we have highlighted in our interim results is our Trustpilot rating, which is an independent rating mechanism from customers. And we poll there at about 8.7 out of 10. Which puts us well above the industry norm, especially when you consider the scores of the likes of BT and Virgin Media. It's important because a customer forms his view of Tuport within his first 90 days of his experience. And what you're looking for is you're looking for customers to go longer than their contract period, and more importantly, customers to be happy with the customer experience so they add more products. And you can see that's happening when you've got now 800 customers and more with more than 1,200 revenue-generating units. You can see that customers are taking more than one proposition from Tuport. That means that customers are taking a solution rather than a commodity. And it means that as long as we deliver that great customer experience, customers will stay with Tuport and will order more products and propositions from Tuport.
Yeah, and like you say, you're right. Customer service is king, because especially if you have small businesses that have not been serviced correctly in the past, they will look for companies like yourself with a high customer rating, because they want that. And then there's no better advertisement than word of mouth and people recommending you, is there?
Absolutely.
Okay, Ali, well, listen, it looks to be going well there. And so if someone's listening right now, and at the moment you are a sub 4 million market cap, so there's potential here. But someone listening right now, and they're like the sound of this, but they're not following you on Vox Markets there, could you give them three reasons as to why they should hit that follow button, please?
Yeah, absolutely. I think reason one, we're disruptive in a fast-growing market. Reason two, we have a hugely experienced PLC board leading the business with a track record of growth within this sector. And reason three, we are building a revenue stream of recurring revenue that's contracted in. And we operate in a market that's got some great sector valuations.
Excellent, Andy. Good to chat to you, and hopefully speak again very soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Justin.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. At five, it's consistently there. 8 Energy, that's 8E. At four, Angus Energy, ANGS. Worth reading a blog I wrote on the weekend, I think, summarising what they're about. Check it out. You can check it out on voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. At three, Andalas Energy, ADL, of course, suspended yesterday, and they issued an RS today talking about media rumours about fundraising. They said they are in talks about that, and they let the market know. At two, it's always there in the top five. It's Ascent Resources, AST. Had Colin on the podcast yesterday. And at number one, no surprise, massive riser. And I've got to say, I was invested in, well, I am invested still, in MySquare. And that's the top follower. I think the last 3 days now has been top followers. And the volume going through this is amazing. I talked about it with Nicola Duco Leon on the charts. And it's double bagged for myself there. It's done very well as an investment for me. And I've sold half, as I always do. Whenever I reach 100%, I sell half and let the rest ride. And you've got to have a strategy, I think. It's one of the things, and, you know, certain strategies fit certain people. It's like clothes. One size does not fit all. You have to have some kind of strategy you're happy with. And then you can move forward. For years, you know, I've been investing. I remember first starting off, really, just before the dot-com you know, bubble. And I had no strategy then whatsoever. It does take years to find something you're comfortable with, but it's worth, you know, messing around with. But always, you know, I think the highest priority you should give to your strategy is risk management. If you don't have any money, you can't play the game. Simple as that. So always make sure you take care of the money. Like I said, you can't control the markets or the share price. All you can control is the risk, the amount of exposure you give yourself to one stock, you know? Hope that makes a bit of sense. Doesn't make sense to me at the moment. I still got the man flu. That's the trouble. All right, top five most liked RSs on Vox Markets this morning were at five, Mayen Energy, Schoetz Creek and LM13 update debt restructuring. At four, Solo Oil, technical update on Helium One's projects. And of course, I talked to Neil earlier on. At three, 88 Energy, Icewind 2 drilling remains on schedule. Thanks for reminding us. At two, MySquare, significant revenue milestone and project update. And it does look good, actually, I think. They've gone from an average of $3,900 per day revenue in April up to $5,000 a day in the first week of May. And they've got several revenue streams coming online. And so, and they're also expanding their call home feature, which is calling over IP to India and Pakistan. Huge populations. And so I think that, even though it was a 28% increase in revenue, I think that would continue. I honestly do. I think there's a lot of potential there with MySquare. And number one, Asia Met Resources. Nice update from Asia Met. And they sell the July project, an update on the Bhutong IUP conversion. It's the license there, a mining license for Bhutong, which is a massive resource. And that's going through, and they've apparently submitted final documents for that. And hopefully, that conversion license should be with us in the next couple of months, they're saying, hopefully. It's been a long time coming, but compelling. It makes, I mean, the BKM project they've got there is compelling. But with this in the background as well, phenomenal project they've got there at Asia Met. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.